Clarity. That would be miraculous, wouldn't it? Yeah, I've just... Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I've had... Yes. Well, I just want to start off by saying, woohoo! I thought it was a brilliant reading. Very much feel that it's not just that we're going through Pentecost because it's Pentecost Sunday, but actually I do really believe that it's essential, and it's a major part of the series that we're covering about, we're looking at what we call the Great Omission, because of the way that the church in the West has kind of neglected the command of Jesus for the Great Commission, to go into all the world. The mission of the church is something that has become unclear and disputed, and the church of today has lost its focus in fulfilling this calling in our lives. Pentecost, the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit on the disciples and believers, was not just a one-off event for that time alone. It was essential for the disciples so that they could therefore go. We've been looking at the theme, therefore go. Andy spoke on therefore so. So this morning I want to look at therefore glow. But that's not a glib or a warm fuzzy feeling, as we'll come on to see. It's a very practical thing. First of all, I just want to read Luke 24:46-49. I apologize, I've not let you know the words or the scriptures because I didn't know until this morning what they were. But it says this about Jesus. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The command to therefore go is preceded by Jesus giving a very clear command to his disciples. He told them to stay in Jerusalem. Or as Boris Johnson might have said, stay home, stay alert. Essentially, the disciples were to receive the promised Holy Spirit. In our series in Moses, towards the end of that, Andy brought that prophetic word about get ready. Get ready. And the parallels, I think, in here is that the Pentecost, the disciples waiting for the promised Holy Spirit was their get ready. Get ready. They knew they were to go, but they had to get ready first. We need to get ready. We need to meet with God. We need to be used by God, to be changed by God. What we read about in that upper room, it was life-changing. The disciples, they were missing Jesus. Jesus had ascended and gone back to the Father. They were unclear about things. They were uncertain about things. They were lacking confidence. They were holed up in the upper room. They were self-isolating in their bubble. And into this situation, God breaks through with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not a warm, fuzzy feeling, although I wonder with the flames of fire if there was some warmth from it, I'm not sure. But it was a tangible thing. There was the blowing of a strong wind in the upper room. There was what looked like tongues of fire above their heads. It was personal. It was for all the disciples. All the disciples received the Holy Spirit. Not some, but all of them did. And it wasn't restricted to the disciples, but it was to the believers as well, as we would find out shortly. And this transformed them from fearfulness, from feeling powerless, from being without a vision and a direction. And God made them alive by His Spirit. Knowing the power of God at work in their lives individually and together as God's people tells us they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them this ability. I just want to reflect, Pentecost 1979 was significant for me. As a 19-year-old, I responded at the time to a message by the church pastor, in those days, one Ray Booth, who preached passionately in the morning service about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And in the evening, we were told to go away to pray, to seek God, and that we would have a time of waiting on God. And I went, and I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen. It was all quite new to me. And I ended up going down to pray in one of the rooms downstairs with Ray and another chap called Jack Dearden. And that is when the Lord did a wonderful thing. I can't explain it even today, and it surprised me. It's my personal testimony now. From just beginning to speak out worship and praise, I suddenly heard somebody speaking in tongues. And I'm thinking, is that Ray or is it Jack? But no, it was me. And then that stopped. And then suddenly I heard my voice bringing a prophecy, word of prophecy, simple word of prophecy. And I think at the realization of what had happened, it left me speechless. I just stopped. What I do know is that since that day, that was not a one-off fuzzy-wuzzy feeling. That was not a one-off event. That was the time when God put His Spirit upon me. And I need the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in me today more than ever. With the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And it's not one or the other, but it's both. Both are important. Both are from the Holy Spirit. So what happened then? The natural, or should I say the supernatural result was that the disciples therefore went. They went. They left the upper room. The Holy Spirit in them had caused an overflow out of their bubble, out of the upper room, into the world, into the locality where they were. It was a dramatic impact. They were not well-educated people. They were not very significant as a group of disciples and followers of Jesus. But we read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 to 29. says this. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Like the disciples, we are nobody special. We're no one special by human standards. But God makes us special. We're told that, see what manner of love the Father has set upon us, that we should be called the children of God. In our going out, it's not about good ideas. It's not about initiatives. It's not about projects. But we need to be witnesses and disciples. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as the disciples were. It's interesting to note that the disciples gathered in the upper room, and when the Holy Spirit came, they became the apostles. They became the chosen ones. They became the ones appointed with a message, and that's the message of the good news of Jesus. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will make an impact and see transformation of individuals, of families and communities. And I believe this is what we're called to do. There's just another verse I want to finish with. And then we'll probably go into a time of response. This is again from Luke. Somewhere in Luke. It's the very, very well-known words, anyway. This is Jesus. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. But he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. If it was essential for Jesus to have the Holy Spirit in declaring the good news of God's salvation, how much more is it essential for us as we begin to go out, as we begin to leave our bubbles, our self-isolating situations, as we move from stay home, stay alert, into therefore go? We need the Holy Spirit. And this morning, now, is an opportunity. Some of you may have received the Holy Spirit. Some may not have. Some may have experienced something of the Holy Spirit. But I want to pray for you now. If you want to make a difference, if you want to be a difference, if you want to live a different life, if you want to live life God's way, not in your own strength and power, not in your own efforts, but in the power of God's Holy Spirit, then this is open to you now. And as you do that, there will be an overspill into your families, into your neighborhood, into your workplaces, into the marketplaces, into the school places, wherever you are, kids as well. This applies to you. It's your sons and daughters. Boy, they'll need it as well, don't they? We need it as well as we begin to go out. I'm going to pray, and we need to pray together for the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got things that we're wanting to do, but they alone will not bring in the kingdom of God, will not see people come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and healing. And right now, it may sound silly, boys, girls as well, I just want to say, if you identify with that, just put your hand up. Just put your hand up. And in a sense, you're just saying, Lord, this is where I am. Yeah, I need your help. After a period of lockdown, we're going out again. Lord, I need your help. The things that we're doing, Lord, we need your help. We need your Holy Spirit to make the breakthrough, the impact in society. Let's pray. Lord, right now, Father, we thank you that, Jesus, that we thank you that when you went back to heaven, you said that the disciples were to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. As we've been looking at this series of therefore go, Father, it is essential that we therefore receive the Holy Spirit, that we therefore, as it were, glow. We take something of the presence of the Holy Spirit with us into our workplaces, into our homes, families, neighbors. Oh God, just right now, as you did on Pentecost, as you've done many times, Lord, pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. And all you've got to do is to say, Lord, pour out your Spirit on me. And I want to speak into you that sense of worth. You might think you're no good. You're not clever. And I just want to say, perhaps you're not, humanly speaking, but in God's hand, he can transform you. You may feel inadequate, not sure what to do, how to do things. But in God's Holy Spirit power, he'll lead you in that. Are you open? Do you want it? In a sense, you can do it your own way, or you can do it God's way. God's perfect plan and will is that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that will overflow in our lives. People will know and will see the difference. Oh God, we need you. Come right now. Come right now. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let it be a definite experience, a definite happening, a life-changing event right now for some people, Lord, particularly at home. And particularly, I want to say, for kids, there's no one too young. Thank goodness there's no one too old either. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. Come, Lord, right now, pour out your Spirit in power, we pray. Amen.